Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Well, are you ready for the word tonight? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Let's get started. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus says in verse number 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever," what's left out of whatsoever? Nothing. "Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, we've been on a series here on spiritual physics, on the spiritual physics of the kingdom of heaven. And we found out that Jesus said he was giving the church a set of keys. And I've heard it preached for years. Yes, there's a set of keys that Satan, you know, Jesus took away from Satan, and now Jesus holds the keys that Satan used to hold. Well, I really don't believe that's what he was talking about. Amen? I don't believe that Jesus needs a key to unlock a lock. Amen. He said, "I'm giving unto you these keys." Now, I took them in my office because it was such a bundle. I carry a lot of keys. But I don't believe they're ones necessarily Jesus gave to me. I got them at Lowe's. Few at Walmart, I'm sure. The keys he gave the church are not a natural set of keys. They're a set of spiritual principles or spiritual laws that govern how things work in God's kingdom. And we've discovered, according to Scripture, if you are born again, you are already a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And you have access to the power of the kingdom of heaven. You have the ability to manifest the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. But it's required you learn these spiritual principles to activate them. You know, the ability to fly in an airplane wasn't created in 1903 when the Wright brothers flew at Kitty Hawk. The ability to fly in an airplane is as old as the earth. Just nobody had discovered the laws and put them together to build a plane that would fly. But we could have flown had we known how to build the airplane and fuel it 6,000 years ago. Amen. But in 1903, the Wright brothers they learned to apply laws of lift and thrust to produce a flying machine. Well, the laws of the kingdom of heaven have always existed. Amen. They've existed since Adam, since the beginning. And Jesus came to teach us these spiritual laws. And he said, if you'll apply these laws in your life, you will get supernatural results. So you can be healed supernaturally. We've discovered you can live without sickness supernaturally. You can see God manifest finances in your life supernaturally. God can fix your marriage, fix your life, set you free from whatever. How many people have ever had God set them free from anything? Raise your hand. Look at the hands. Me, drugs, alcohol, running around. Gone the night I got saved. Just gone. By the power of God. Some of you may have got saved the night, you know, free the night you got saved. Others, it took some time. But God has set you free from some things. Supernaturally. We've learned, if we'll learn these laws, these spiritual laws, and apply them, we'll get God's results in our life. And of course, that's one of the problems we have in standard traditional church. Is they're not learning. They don't even know these laws exist. If they did, they don't know how to use them or not applying them. And so what they do, they keep getting natural results. So you have God's church, which is supposed to be supernaturally operating, instead is operating by the natural. So then they have to explain away the power of God because they don't know how to access it. Did you follow that? Don't make me say it again. Because so many Christians don't know how to access God's power. They've come to the conclusion it's not accessible. Do you know about 115 years ago, many men were still saying it was impossible for man to fly? If you were to read stories back in the 1800s, even when we were starting to build gliders, people saying, man will never fly. Here we are. Somebody discovered how to do it. Tom was telling us about Charles Lindbergh the other day. Weren't you telling us about that? In our Mastermind meeting, yes. that one of the greatest heroes of World War II was Charles Lindbergh. We know he was the first one to fly across the Atlantic Ocean nonstop. But also, he played a key role in World War II in teaching our pilots how to save fuel. So the thing is, it's not that it didn't exist, it's that we didn't know how to apply it. So we're learning these laws of spiritual physics, spiritual principles that access the power of God's kingdom. I want it. How about you? Amen? And so we've already covered several of the laws, and we put together six laws of kingdom transformation. And we found out that Newton's first law of motion was what we call inertia, that an object in motion or at rest will stay in motion or at rest unless acted on by a force. Remember that? Very quickly reviewing. And we declared out of that, nothing changes supernaturally unless faith is applied. Faith is God's trigger to access supernatural power. And if you don't believe in the things of faith, if you don't believe in the principles of faith, if you don't believe in the power of your words, you cannot reliably access the supernatural. That's why so much of the church is hoping and praying versus believing and speaking. Do you follow me? Because they don't know the principles, then all they can do is hope and pray and hope God moves. But we discovered death and life is in the power of the tongue. If you'll believe it and speak it, you can have it. Right? Then we looked at Newton's second law of motion. We found out that a mass, if a force is applied upon a mass, it will move, or it will change its motion. We found the formula of that was F equals MA. Force equals mass times acceleration. Are you having fun yet? We're not going to go through all these formulas again, so we're not going there tonight. Well, we actually will go through several of them. So we discovered the bigger a force is, the bigger a mass it can accelerate. Or the bigger a force is, the faster that same mass will accelerate. Right? So if you're shooting a cannon, a whole lot of powder will make it fly faster than a little bit of powder. At least until it blows up because you put too much in. Right? And so we discovered out of that, we applied this to spiritual laws, and we found out that that faith is the force that we use to activate spiritual forces. Say it again. Faith is the principle we use to activate spiritual forces. If we can use our faith on something, it will change. Right? And out of Newton's second law, by crossing over and applying these spiritual, we came up with the concept that the larger your faith is, the bigger the mountain you can move. You remember when Jesus was with the disciples and several times, you know, their faith fizzled out. And he said, "Oh ye of little faith." Their faith wasn't capable of moving the mountain they needed to move. Do you remember when Peter stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water? And then seeing the wind boisterous, he began to sink and Jesus had to catch him. And Jesus said to him, "Why did you doubt, O ye of little faith?" Now, I don't know about you, but walking on water seems like big faith to me. But if you look at the actual Greek verbiage in that, it doesn't mean of small faith. It means ye of short bursts of faith. I don't want a short burst of faith. I want big faith all the time. How about you? And the bigger the faith, our faith is, the bigger the mountain we can move, or the faster it will move out of our way. So we can actually target building our faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. And I recommend going into the Scriptures, finding verses that deal with what you want God to do in your life, and start speaking them into manifestation. Meditate them. Speak them. Act on them. And then watch God move on your behalf. You know, so many people, even in faith churches, will say, "Well, I tried it and it just didn't work." No, you may have tried it for a little bit, but it was a short burst of faith. Amen. And, you know, that's like your lawnmower. Instead of going putt, 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 you can't mow much grass with putt, putt, putt. Isn't that right? So we have the yard engineer right here to confirm it. Lawn engineer. And so we've got to have a consistent high level of faith to see God move mightily on our behalf. Because these spiritual principles work. Amen. But you've got to learn how to build your faith on what God said. Now, Pastor Jack, that's just too hard. I just don't think I can do that. It's too much effort. Well, I found out personally, it's a whole lot more effort dealing with the curse than it is manifesting the blessing. I mean, I had to work my faith for a long time for my marriage. She had some changing to do. I'm sorry. We had some changing to do.
And now you know why there was a lot of
And so I had to work on my marriage. But you know what? Working on your marriage is a whole lot better than recovering from a divorce. At least that's what I've been told, right? I don't want to know firsthand. That's tough. It took me some time to manifest divine healing. But you know what? Divine healing and divine health are a whole lot more superior than having the flu once or twice a year and no telling what else. Amen? Pills and inoculations and probes. I don't need all that. I'd rather spend some time speaking the word. And yes, it takes a reprioritization of your time and your focus, but the results are out of this world. And I need it. How about you? So then 2 weeks ago, we started looking at the concept of momentum. We discovered that the formula, probably I'll write these up there, but force times time equals mass times velocity. In fact, let me write that up there. Force times time equals mass times velocity. And force times time is where you apply a force for a period of time. You follow me? You hold the accelerator down in the car. You pull the throttle back on a motorcycle. You're applying force for a period of time. We discover that's called impulse. Force times time is impulse. And impulse produces mass times velocity, which is a mass moving at whatever speed it's at. So the higher your force and the longer your time, the bigger an object you can speed up or the faster it will go. And when a mass has a velocity, that's called momentum. Momentum. And the higher the momentum of something is, harder it is to stop. If something has a large enough momentum, you don't want to stand in its way. You know, you see people that survive, you know, car collisions quite often. You don't see nearly as many that survive car, semi, truck collisions as much. Why? That semi has a whole lot more momentum. And usually the one that's killed is not the one in the truck. Right? It's the one in the Yugo or the Prius or, you know, used to be Chevette when I was young. That's a long time ago, wasn't it? So the larger our force is, the bigger momentum we can produce. Well, we apply this spiritually. The larger your faith is and the more you'll apply your faith over time, the more spiritual momentum you can carry. We put some charts up and found out you can actually use your faith even when you're not sick, even when you're not poor, even when your marriage is doing well. Use your faith to develop spiritual momentum so that you move over into a place of super healing. That the devil can't even make you sick. Or supermarital blessing where the devil can't even attack your marriage and cause any strife. How about divine supernatural prosperity overflow? Where you don't live week to week anymore or need a handout here and there, but there's always enough money left over when you're done to pay next month's bills or go out and do what you want to do, right? Maybe you can buy a car cash next time versus 6 years. At whatever percent payments. That's all available through applying ourselves to build spiritual momentum. Amen. And guess what? If you want to do this, learn to use your faith and build your faith and speak the word even when things are going well. In fact, it's a whole lot easier to do it when it's going well. You're not being troubled by so many worries and fears. Speak the word, act on the word, and watch yourself build in spiritual momentum. So we talked about spiritual momentum allows us to bowl over our enemies. Then we discovered faith times time builds spiritual momentum. Oh, praise God. Become active. Become diligent with using and building your faith in your life. And it doesn't take hours a day. Do you follow me? It just takes a changing of a few priorities and getting some time in. Speaking the word. You know, I used to, now this has been 20 years ago, close to it. I would go to the gym, probably more 17, 15 years ago. And I would run on the treadmill or the elliptical, whatever it was, and I would take my confession list with me. I laminated them so it wouldn't hurt for them to get sweaty. And I had front and back verses I wanted to work into my life. And I'd sit on that treadmill, or stand on it, I guess, walk on it, run, on the elliptical, and I'd sit there and just speak those confessions. They had a TV set up there. I could have just watched TV. Of course, it was usually soap operas. Or I could speak the word. So while I'm getting exercise, I'm still confessing God's word. And it works even better when you won't even be on the elliptical or the treadmill and get some quiet time and speak God's word. Let it roll over in your thinking and recognize that's God's promise to you. You're getting faith time. And it builds spiritual momentum and allows you to bowl over your enemies. Then last week, we started talking about the concept of spiritual work. And we found that the formula for work is force times distance. In other words, if you push a car, you apply 100 pounds of force. We mentioned this example. We apply 100 pounds force to a car. We move it 100 feet. We did 10,000 foot-pounds of work. That's the physics formula for work. Then we applied this to the realm of the spirit. Applying your faith to move a mountain produces spiritual work or spiritual results. We discovered God rewards us for our works that we do. Our works can't save us, but He does reward us based on them. Praise God, I like rewards. So we discovered because work equals force times distance, if you try to tackle too big of a mountain and it can't move, you didn't do anything. We started talking about find something of a size you can actually change with your faith versus try to tackle changing the world. You know, you've been saved for 2 weeks. Find something that your faith can really get a hold of and make a change supernaturally. Try to attack headaches, indigestion, you know, bloating, whatever. Try to attack, you know, paying the phone bill on time versus 3 days late. Use your faith for it and watch God move as you do. And then you've finished or completed some works. So what we discovered is if the distance of the mountain is moved to zero, anything times zero is still zero, right? So we said, without faith, we can do no works for God. No. And until something's actually supernaturally changed, no kingdom work has yet been accomplished. No kingdom work has yet been accomplished until something actually is changed. And if nothing is changed, no work is done, potentially no heavenly rewards. So, it's not enough to hear about faith. It's not enough to believe in faith. It's not enough to even know how it works until you actually do something with it. What's God got to reward you on? And He's not rewarding us on what we do out of our own efforts. He's rewarding us based on what we do with his power manifested in our lives. Do you see this? And he's after supernatural results. Tonight we're going to talk about divine energy. We've been looking at different laws of motion. So we've talked about, you know, force equals mass times acceleration. We've talked about momentum. We've talked about work. When you're studying in physics, the topics of motion, one of the next ones you come to is energy. Because when something is moving, it has energy. And we have a name for energy in God's kingdom. What do we call energy in God's kingdom? The anointing. Look over at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus is about to launch out in his ministry. And he says in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to truly operate in God's kingdom, to do whatever he's called you to do. We'll take the anointing. I preach by the anointing." Amen. No anointing, you might as well go on home. You'd be bored stiff. Of course, you may be like that now, but I'll notice if you leave now. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. Here are some things the anointing will do in your life. Enable you to minister, heal people's hearts, heal their physical bodies, open blind eyes, set people free, all possible by the anointing. Do you see this? God's divine energy. Look over at Isaiah chapter 10. I know you know these verses. At least there's a good chance you do. But faith cometh by hearing and hearing, right? Isaiah chapter 10. And verse 27, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Now here's what we've heard ministered for years. The anointing of God is his burden-removing, yoke-destroying power. The anointing has the ability to set you free from anything enemies try to use to hold you down. Amen. It will do the impossible in your life. And so we as believers need to be people that function in the anointing. Now we're going to go through some different formulas here for a few minutes. And when we're talking about energy, in particular energy of motion, there are two primary forms of energy we will have to discuss. One is called potential energy. How many have heard of potential energy? That's energy waiting to be released. If you blow up a balloon, then that balloon has in it potential energy. You let it go, what's going to happen? Balloon's going to fly all over the place, right? When we talk about, how many have heard discussions about hydroelectric dams? That's what we used to learn when I was in school, hydroelectric dams. They build a big dam, and they let the water level get high. And the higher the water level gets, the more potential energy that water has. And then they run it through a spillway through tubes. As the water goes down the tubes, now it has kinetic energy, which we'll talk about before we're done. It spins turbines producing electrical engine energy, right? And or turns generators. And that electrical energy then goes to your houses. So the formula for potential energy Potential energy equals weight times height. Now, here's a key point I want to make in this. Work and energy in physics are interchangeable. You follow me on that? Work and energy are interchangeable. For example, you burn fuel in your car or whatever you're burning fuel in, your tractor. Well, that fuel had potential energy. It's then burned, it produces kinetic energy in the motor, and then that motor's able to do work. And the units for energy are the same as the units for work. And they're totally interchangeable. Now, from a spiritual standpoint, if we want to do any work for God, then we need anointing. Do you follow me on that? Now, we talked about before the formula for work. What is it? Force times distance. Now, height, remember the water we talked about behind the dam? You understand the higher the water level goes, the more potential energy is in that water? And actually, that potential energy of the dam is equal to the weight of the water times the height of the water. Amen. So the higher the water gets, the weight of that water is able to do more work. And so height, if we're relating these two formulas, height, how many know that's a distance? So that's equatable to distance. And weight. We use the term weight. Weight is actually the result of a mass being acted on by gravity. When you step on the scales, don't you wish gravity would take a little bit of a vacation? Just like 20% vacation would do okay, just 20%. See, when you're in outer space, far enough in outer space, you have no weight. Well, there's no gravity acting upon you if you're far enough from the Earth or from whatever other mass. But on Earth, on the surface of the Earth, you have weight because you have a mass that's being acted on by gravity. Is that too deep for you? Each of us have a mass, whether we're on Earth or not. We all have mass, no matter where in the universe we are. But until you're acted on by gravity, you don't have weight. And they've set up the units in our American measurement system that on the surface of the Earth, your mass equals your weight. Did you follow me? In other words, they set it up where Earth weight equals mass in units. And so weight is a result of the force of gravity acting on the mass of your body. So weight is actually a force. That's why when you step on the scales, those numbers go up. Right? Why? Because your weight applies force to the scales and changes the reading. Amen. And so here we see potential energy. Weight is a force, so then potential energy can be converted to work, which is really what we want to do with the anointing. See, to apply this spiritually, oh, God says He wants to bring on us an exceeding weight of glory. Amen. But from a standpoint of, we found out that work equals force times distance. For us, it's faith times how far you're moving something. Well, regarding potential energy, it's force times how high you lift it. And I want to let you know, you can build up your faith to higher and higher levels. Look at Romans chapter 1. You want to talk about challenging? Teach physics in a room full of engineers. How about Charles in the back there? You got to teach physics in front of Charles, right? People are going like, come on, speed it up. Romans chapter 1. but I love this stuff. Verse 16, Paul writes, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation." We're going to talk about power next week. "Is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, we know the just shall live by faith comes out of Habakkuk chapter 2, right? We know that's also a key phrase. It's repeated in the New Testament 3 times. And it's a phrase or a part of God's promise to the church to manifest the glory. "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters cover the sea." And in Habakkuk, God told Habakkuk, the ones that live by faith will be the ones that will bring forth this glory. That's a whole other teaching, right? But some of you heard that before. Probably 2 or 3 of you remember it. Or more. We don't limit God here. But it says we can go from faith to faith. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says we can go from glory to glory. See, if we will elevate our faith, because in this case, in our petition energy, faith is our force. Do you follow me? Here weight's a force, but faith is our force in the kingdom. And if we will elevate this faith level we have, even when we're not applying it, just elevate it by spending time meditating the scriptures, thinking about word, spending time reading, listening to tapes, building ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, we're building our spiritual potential energy. That energy that you build up later lets you do works for the kingdom of heaven. See, I believe if you really want to see God do miracles in your life, you really want to see God move supernaturally around you, build your spiritual potential energy. You build it high enough, and there's going to be opportunities given to you to release it and see God move. But you don't want to be in a position where you've not spent any time building yourself, so when you need it, it's not there. Amen. Is this too hard? See, we're learning how the kingdom operates by these laws. And we learn in engineering, if you don't do the physics laws, you don't get the physics results. What are you doing? I'm building a bridge over the river. Is it going to work? I hope so. I'm hoping and praying. I hope that, hey, we're taking a semi over now. Who wants to climb aboard, you know? No, if you're hoping and praying, I don't want on that bridge. I want to know you calculated and you applied. My wife still has trouble crossing bridges, even knowing engineers designed them. Amen. We have the ability to build our faith in exams, in advance, to high, high, high levels. And if you'll do it, guess what? It will be used. Amen. It's going to get used eventually. And so, this is potential spiritual energy. And this energy gives us the ability to do spiritual work. Now, I've got a 7th law of kingdom transformation written down here. We covered 6 already tonight, right? We reviewed. The 7th law of kingdom transformation. The believer may build up his internal anointing reserves, which allow him to later perform supernatural works for God. See, as your faith goes to higher levels, anointing will come on you. You'll build up anointing reserves within. Amen? Especially when you start confessing Luke 4:18. See, I've confessed that verse for years. I mean, probably close to, well, over 25 years, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He's anointed me to preach the gospel of the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the Lord's captive, restoring sight blind. Amen. And so by confessing it, I was building it up. Here's one I recommend you speak over your life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul was using his faith for where he wanted to go. Never say, God never speaks to me. God never shows me anything. Your faith just shut the door to that. Get in line with what God said you can have and speak it. So now we have spiritual potential energy. But now let's change gears to kinetic energy. Now we're going to have fun with math. Everybody say, yippee, I love math. I love physics. When I taught pre-algebra back 24 years ago, I started every day having our church school. I had every day the students confessing they love math. Amen? Because you come in, I don't like math. Well, in here you do. Repeat after me. You can get your faith involved in this. Some of them rolled their eyes when I had them do it, but I still had them do it. All right. We're going to now convert. Remember we said work and energy are interchangeable? And kinetic energy, kinetic refers to motion. So kinetic energy is the energy of motion. So we're going to convert our work formula. Remember what it was? Force times distance. We're going to convert this to motion. And so to do that, we've got to convert both of these terms that which deals with motion. Now, we'll define it tonight. The distance something travels. If I do 50 miles an hour for 2 hours, how far do I travel? 100 miles. Let's try that again. If I do 10 miles per hour for 10 hours, how far do I travel? How did you get that? You multiplied rate times time. We're using the term velocity in here, okay? And for the engineers, we're leaving off vector analysis in this whole study. So, put your mind at rest. Rate times time or velocity times time equals distance. In algebra, we write that, or in physics, we write that distance equals velocity average times time. So I'm doing an average velocity, going from A to B, for it takes me so long, I went that far, right? And velocity average, if we're assuming constant forces which produce constant acceleration, then the formula for average velocity equals final velocity divided by 2. I'm trying to think how to explain this best. If I'm in a car and I'm going to try to run, a mile long acceleration from 0 to however fast, so I get in the car and I press on the accelerator from dead stop, and it has a constant acceleration in the car. We'll assume it's constant. Never is, but we'll assume it for this case. After I get a mile, I'm doing 100 miles an hour. Okay? But it took me 2 minutes. No, that didn't sound right. Not 2 minutes. I should have wrote this example down. Let's say I travel a mile. I'm going 100 miles an hour. Okay? What was my average speed for the mile? 50, right? So what you do is you take your final velocity, 100, divided by 2, and you get the average. Is that easy enough? I don't want to leave anybody behind. How many are lost right now and don't even care? If I'm in a car, I start at zero, and I press accelerate, and it starts accelerating constantly. By the end of a mile, it's doing 100 miles per hour. What was my average speed? 50. Final velocity divided by 2. Whether it was a mile or 10 miles, the average velocity was half of that. Amen. Now, if you didn't catch it, trust me. So distance, if I plug this in to here, because I can do that in physics, right? I can do it in algebra. So distance actually equals final velocity over 2 times time. You got that? So now I can rewrite this formula up here and plug this in for distance. I get work equals force times V over 2 T. Let me look at T. Is that clear enough? Just nod your head and we'll assume you caught it. So we have our work now is equal to force times velocity over 2 times time. But we've already discovered you can tie force to how far you travel. Right? So, we discovered F equals MA. Does everybody remember that one? Force equals mass times acceleration. So, they remember one. But we also learned, if you remember on our teaching on momentum, we learned that acceleration equals velocity divided by time. Now, let me back up so I can explain that. If I do, let's say I'm accelerating at a rate of 10 miles per second, 10 miles per hour per second, and I hold down the gas for 10 seconds, how fast am I going? I'm accelerating at 10 miles per hour every second, and I do it for 10 seconds. How fast am I going? 100. That's what the formula says. Amen. So if I'm going 100 miles per hour and it took me 10 seconds to get there, what was my acceleration? 10 miles per hour per second. How many have already cut me off and you just can't wait to get out of here? So actually, I can now plug this into here. So I get force equals mass times velocity over time. I guess I didn't have to really show you. I just could have went to the final formula, showed you, just take my word for it. But I have too much showing it. Too much fun showing it. So I can plug this in place of that. And I come up with work equals mass times velocity over time. And then I've got velocity over 2 times time. What a work of art. These T's cancel. These V's become V squared. And I get work equals mass times velocity squared over 2. Thank you, Jesus. We got there. Glory to God. Does anybody besides Charles and Tom, Pastor Tom, understand this tonight? Hey, several of you. Amen. So praise God. At least appreciate the work I did to bring this message to you. So what we've done, hey, there's spiritual lessons in here. Just wait for it. We've converted work to units that only include motion and distance. You follow me? Include distance. So our formula, but we can actually now call this kinetic energy. It was mass times velocity squared over 2. That is the standard physics formula for kinetic energy. So what this tells us, it tells us something, praise God. Our kinetic energy is directly proportional to the size of the mountain we're moving. Remember, M was our mountain from earlier lessons? And exponentially related to how fast it's going. So the bigger the mountain we're moving, the faster it's going, the more anointing or spiritual kinetic energy it takes just to carry it over in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. So if I'm moving a big mountain and I'm moving it very fast, I would have large anointing involved. Now, there is a principle of physics called conservation of energy. You might have heard it like this. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. That's a basic law in physics. Until you go nuclear. Then it was just potential energy anyway. In fact, quantum physicists have discovered everything's made of energy. Every particle, every atom has an energy basis to it. And so, all the energy that's going to exist is already out here. You can't make new energy. It's already there. How about if you burn coal, Pastor Jack? Yeah, coal has potential energy in it. The energy was in the form of coal. But you can't make new energy. If we apply the principle of conservation of energy over to the realm of the Spirit, you cannot spend anointing you haven't developed. And anointing is required to move the mountain. So we talked about this formula representing anointing in motion. Potential energy is, well, we had it up here. Potential energy is stored anointing. Kinetic energy is released anointing. And released anointing will move mountains out of your way. But if you haven't spent time to build your potential energy anointing, you can't expend it later as spiritual kinetic energy. See, if you build a dam, you put a power plant at the bottom, you got everything built, but you never let the water build up. You just keep letting it flow out. And you never let the water level build up. Later, when you need power from that dam, you won't have the ability to produce it. You never built any potential up. And if you don't take time to build your faith up, build your anointing up, then when you need it, you can't move the mountains that you want to move. We've got to take time to charge our spiritual batteries. Every well-known minister that has been successful in a lifelong ministry that didn't flake out, go crazy, you know, go back into sin. See, so many well-known ministers of the past, if you read God's generals, read other biographies, you'll find that so many well-known men of the past, great men of God, fell back into sin. And you say, well, how could that happen? Because they relied on a gift which expended anointing. Didn't take personal time to refresh their anointing. And they ran out of fuel personally. And that put you in dangerous territory. Jesus would get apart from everybody and go to the mountain and pray. He would take time to refuel himself spiritually. He says, I only do what I see the Father do. He would take time to hear what God wanted him to do. Was he charging his batteries? And as I mentioned, every well-known man of God that survived, I'm talking about Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, R.W. Schambach, great men of God that have gone on to be home, that were successful with their ministry. T.L. Osborne learned you've got to take time alone with God to refuel yourself. Because if you only focus on what you're spending and you don't take time to build it up, then you can't do any work for God. Then you try to do it out of your own effort. Amen. One of the key ways we put potential energy into motion is kinetic. Is one by speaking the promises of God, we put it into motion. But another primary one in Scripture is lay hands on people. Now, I'm running low on time, so I'm not going to take a whole lot of time with this. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 40, it says, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." Jesus healed the sick by laying hands on them. What was he doing? He was taking stored anointing on him, laying hands on other people, and the hand became a point of transfer of the anointing. When I lay hands on people, I feel the anointing flow. Some people feel heat. Some people feel electricity. I feel energy. I don't know how to explain. I just feel energy going. And sometimes I feel it bounce right back because they're not wanting to receive it. And so Jesus, by laying hands on people, was able to transfer that anointing to others in the form of kinetic or energy anointing in motion. Amen? You want to do what you can to put your potential spiritual energy in operation. Move something with it. Target things you can use your faith for. I recommend revivalist Christians taking time frequently to do a spiritual inventory to decide, where am I really using my faith? Where have I got comfortable doing it myself? Where am I trusting God for His promises to manifest? What am I speaking to? What mountains am I speaking to right now? Because if you can think and realize you haven't spoke to a mountain all week, you're probably not really targeting using your faith very well. It's tough in here, isn't it? First physics formulas. Now you have to do spiritual inventory of yourself. If you discover you can't make a list of what you're using your faith for, it's probably time to step back and look at your situations in life and decide, what do I need to use my faith for? And target doing it. Because we get so used to living our own lives and doing it ourselves and figuring out how to solve things, we don't use our faith until we get in trouble. And it should be for more than that. Amen? Jesus even instructed us to lay hands on the sick. Mark 16, Jesus said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents," not on purpose. "If they drink any deadly thing," not on purpose, "it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover," on purpose. Do you follow me? Find people to lay hands on. Practice it. What if nothing happens? What if it does? Amen? Hebrews chapter 6, we don't have time to go there and study. But Hebrews chapter 6 lets us know that laying on of hands is a basic, elementary principle of the kingdom of heaven. It's supposed to be something we do as new Christians. We should be doing this. Why? Releasing that anointing. Now I want to throw something else up here before we close. Praise God, He's erasing those formulas. My eyes are starting to hurt. It's okay, I'm going to put another one up here. Kinetic energy was mass times velocity squared over 2. Does anybody remember our formula for momentum? what equals momentum? Momentum is mass times velocity. Okay? You know, I've worked with these all my life so much, I forget they're not obvious to other people. Amen? That if I remain your pastor, eventually it will be. Not really. We may never cover this again in this. Momentum is equal to mass times velocity. Actually, our formula for kinetic energy can be written mass times velocity times velocity over 2. Embedded within kinetic energy is momentum, which was produced by faith time. Impulse. Without faith, you can have no momentum. And if you have no momentum, you have no anointing. Not any anointing in motion anyway. Your spiritual momentum, which allows you to overcome sickness and disease. Remember we talked about momentum lets you bowl over the opposition? These two are inseparably linked. And you cannot have momentum without anointing. And you cannot have anointing in motion without momentum. Take time to apply your faith, and you receive both. Amen? In fact, embedded in within kinetic energy is the momentum you need to overcome anything the enemy throws in your path. Did you get anything out of this? Let's move this chalkboard very quickly. Aaron, why don't you bring your worship team up here?